Right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of Let's Talk About It. We're standing in for Daughters of Ruth, and if you're out there listening, you're listening to the 1,356th episode of All Purpose Kingdom Network. I am Adrienne Misunderstanding Allen, and I got Sister Janice Mima Hudson, and I got Pastor Chappy Colleen Toy Bailey. Why am I not giving the intros like we was? Because we were just here with y'all just another day. So now's the time to pull up a chair and let's continue to talk about it. Ladies, let's talk about it.
Hey, let's talk about it.
Lima, you say you had something to tell the devil, right? It was you that said that you had something to tell the devil today. So why don't you start us off the way you know how?
I had to tell the devil that you're a liar, your first thing. And we know how you feel about Jesus, but guess what? We know how we feel about you, and you're not wanted here. Amen.
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 I don't think you could say it any sweeter than that. If you're out there and you're listening tonight, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. Again. Now, remember, now y'all know we hate to have numbers, right? So now we don't have a lot of numbers anymore. So now we only got this one. So it's easy to call the 319-527-6091. And then what we need you to do is then go send it to like two or three more people. Now remember, they might not be able to get in. So then what you might really want to do is actually add some people into your call. You know how they be like, hey, girl. Yeah, that way we can really get the people together so we can really start talking about this thing. Because, ladies, do y'all know that it's a holiday coming up? I call it a holiday.
That's what
the Jewish people, when they, you know, it's Hanukkah. So when Hanukkah starts, they be like, oh, it's Hanukkah. You know, it's a holiday. The whole nine. Did you know that there was holidays on the way in the Brinken?
Yes, it is, right around the corner, but they tell me.
Amen.
Don't say, I was about to say, you would never, ever imagine that Christmas, the day that he was born, December 25th, the day that we celebrate, they are actually going to let it go by like as if it's not really the holiday. They're actually going to so far to point, now they're talking about having up and giving people stimulus money. So that everybody will be wanting the stimulus money and not being even thinking about the fact that they need that money for the bill, but then they would run out and go get gifts so that they could put up under a tree on this holiday. Is anybody seeing that it's like that?
Well, you
I'm so glad that we got a special edition of Let's Talk About It. Look, I'm so glad we got a special edition of Let's Talk About It. Because it's somebody's birthday coming up. And it acts like the world don't know that he about to have a birthday or something. I'm having
a
situation. Please, somebody help me.
For me this year, I'm excited about this time. I always get excited about this time of the year. Not so much because of the celebration of Christ's birth. Because I know it didn't happen at this time of the year. But I do get excited because I see the excitement of the children and the anticipation of the children around this time of the year. And whenever I see the children get excited about something, it always sort of stirs me up because it takes me back to when Jesus was talking and he said, unless you come unto me as one of these children, for such is the kingdom of heaven. it always stirs me up in my faith, because these children, you know, no matter what they are believing in or for, they are believing, as my grandson said a few years back, that something special for them is about to happen. So I always get excited this time of the year, period. But I'm sort of glad that we're stuck in this pandemic, post-pandemic, pre-pandemic, re-pandemic, whatever they calling it this week, situation.
Yeah.
It has put me in a situation where not only have we had to become more united as a family unit, but it put me in a situation where the commercialism of this time of the year has gone out of the door.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, we did a Christmas tree this year, and I'm going to put it up on Facebook and Instagram and all, and everyone was talking about how beautiful our tree was. However, we did not buy any decorations for our tree. All of our tree decorations made out of construction paper, and everyone that sees it talks about how beautiful this tree is, and they can't believe that it's not store-bought items on this tree. So it has brought us to a place where we have had to come back full circle, almost to, like, I call it Little House on the Prairie type Christmases.
Yeah.
And get back into the family unity of it, the family love of it, away from the commercialism of it. So that's just what I've been with this particular holiday and how I've been sort of looking at this time of the year without trying to put, you know, so much commercialism into it.
Yes, I can definitely say amen to that. But tonight, I really want y'all to walk with, okay? I really want to talk about the fact we've been in a pandemic for almost 11 months. So if I say that almost 11 months ago, it was just around the time that if you're into the story and you know what was happening, I think he had came and they loved on him and then they turned their back on him. The story is supposed to be that they put Christ in the tomb. And he was to get up on Easter morning. Because of the fact that the world shut down, is it fair for me to say that I believe that we left Christ in a tomb and now it's his birthday, but we haven't even seen Christ for 11 months? I can't say all of us, but I'm saying as a world, as a whole, right now, everyone should just be happy, like you said, to have your family. You shouldn't be looking for a present. Somebody's out there hungry, dead, or dying. It's time to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You don't need a present. Isn't the present the gift of life?
Amen.
I know we talk about what's going on about Christ and what's not real and what didn't happen and what does happen. When are we going to just have a conversation that says that, okay, it did happen, and now we have to breathe into it, because it did happen, didn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
If you're out there and you're listening tonight, it's my birthday. It's my birthday. What are you talking about? I wish it would be my birthday, and y'all was acting like I was about to have a birthday, and y'all calling and everybody looking like crazy and stuff. So what, you've been in our house? It's still my birthday. Do you know who I am? Really? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm serious, though. I really am, like, embodying the whole, you know how you gotta walk like Christ, like we were talking about? I'm telling you, man, I would be now, me, Adrian, misunderstanding Alan off of everything that I ever loved. You would have never, ever, 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 ever been able to tell me that the people that I've been in there with all this time, and they've been talking to me, doing this, telling me to sit up straight, stop acting like this, stop doing that, and be quiet, and don't do it in decency and all of this stuff. You wouldn't tell me that. They've been in our house for 11 months, and we believe in a savior that sits above everything. Are you kidding me? I'm so glad we had a less talk about it tonight, ladies, because we've really been going through it. You know, this is this week.
Yes, on Friday, not this Friday coming, but in what, 8 days now?
Yeah.
In 8 days is the day that like I said, the 25th is the day that the Western world, our modern Western world, has decided that we celebrate the birthday of Christ. And I
you don't
get
have
what
to,
you say.
You shouldn't have to separate it anymore. Like, don't even say it. It's just what they say. You know, because everything that they have said all of the time, they're trying to, like, squeeze it over now. So now they're trying to squeeze it over that they made that day up.
The reason that I still separate it is because one of the things that God has been dealing with me on is just because it's what they say does not make it the truth. And we got to walk in the freedom of the truth of God's word, not the dogma and doctrine training up of mankind. That's where we sort of fall short at a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
When we get caught up on celebrating the fact that Christ came, it's like she said, it's like when it's your birthday, you get excited. You begin to anticipate what you believe is going to happen today and what's coming up. And right now, it just seems like we as a world have just gone, it's a day coming. But we've been there for a long time. I mean, we've been there for a long time. As a society, we have been doing everything in our power as a society to say that God is not real and that Christ is the fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
That's what society is trying to get us to believe. That's what society is trying to get us to think.
And
so
that's what society had us thinking for a long time. You know, because we go out and we celebrate, you know, and grew up on a Caucasian man in a red and white suit, you know, believing that, oh, Santa Claus, you know. But we should have, you know, told our children the truth, you know. This is the birth of Christ, you know. There's no such thing as a Santa Claus. You know, this is a representation of the birth of Christ. You know, Christ walking the earth or coming on the earth, you know, to save our souls. You know, so.
The word tells us in John chapter verse 14, it's when the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it's when the word had became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, we should be rejoicing in the tabernacling of God.
Amen.
Amongst us. Especially since
Amen.
We can still today, but today instead of it being him tabernacling amongst us, like walking with us, he tabernacles inside of us.
Amen.
Well, that's what a lot of people are in the world struggling with right now. The reason why I say that is because I'm really trying to figure out where is the need in that situation. You know, so instead of me just assuming or, you know, seeing what I see, I can see what I see, that's observant. But when you actually get into why is the why and what's going on and is there something that we can do to heal the what's going on, you know, so we can get you past the why. That's what we're in right now. Like, because I'm out here and I'm listening to people, and I'm going to tell you, and I was really, tomorrow is going to be about it, but within these 11 months of my pandemic, I have been told so many times that Jesus isn't real. People have said so many different ways. And I want to tell everybody that's out here listening, listen, you're looking at this thing all wrong. You're trying to find something that ain't real. You need to find the thing that is real. Aren't you breathing? Are you living? Do you see people? Do you feel people? That's God.
Mm-hmm.
If you fail and stay down and decided to never, ever, 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 ever want to choose to get back up, that's saying that you're down there looking for a reason of something else instead of just getting up. It's 2020. It's been a crazy, shattering year. And now it's coming down to the brink. And guess what? They told us half of us wasn't going to make it. If you're here and you're listening today, contrary to popular demand, that says you're still breathing. Correct?
Amen.
So I got a question, lady. Here you go. Help me figure out what is the next step that somebody should want or need to know when they believe what somebody is telling them is the truth. How do you recommend they go about it? One, do they, like, read it for themselves? And I understand when they say read it for yourself, but what if you don't understand? How do you go about it? Do you talk to people? Do you ask, like, what do you do? Do you pray? What, help them out. Help us out.
Well, prayer is the answer to everything, you know, and you have to believe in your heart and know truly, you know, that what your feelings are, you know, because unless you go through and witness the miracles of Christ, you know, and nobody's going to feel what you feel, you know, but I know that there's a God. I know that God is real for the things that I have been through and went through and what I felt in Christ, you know, and even at, like you said, at my lowest point, you know, even when I fell and I saw that there was no way I could get up out of this situation. But you know what I done? I called on the name of Jesus and I pleaded the blood. And when I called on his name and I pleaded his blood, boom, right there, a sign came to me in my mind. It just told me what to do and how to do it, you know, and can't nobody tell me that there's not a God. There's not a God because I prayed to him and I asked for a sign. I said, Lord, if it's your will, give me a sign to show me that I should live and not die. And when God gave me that sign that you are going to live and you will not die, I've been serving and praying to him ever since. Because can't nobody tell me that there's not a God. Amen?
Amen. And you know, for me, I just go based off of my testimony. One, the hardest that I had to accept was the fact that everyone was not going to be saved. The hardest thing for me to accept that everyone in my family was not going to be saved. But once I accepted that fact, my mission of just planting the seed of salvation became a little bit easier. But what I found out was when I run against people who want to argue with you and say, oh, Jesus isn't real, God isn't real, how do you know that stuff they were talking about in the Bible is true? Where is the bones of Moses? Where's the bones of Jeremiah? Where's the bones of Jesus if he really existed? They have the bones of the apostles. Why do they have the bones of the disciples if Jesus really existed? Why wouldn't he take them? Like, I've heard all of those arguments. What I always do is I go back to what God's word says, because I have to one, accept the fact that, one, like I said, everyone's not going to be saved. But for two, a lot of people don't know God's word. We assume that they do because we do. But
Amen.
If you take us out of the equation, we will realize that for some people, the only Bible they see is what we walk in front of them. If you read the book of Revelation 12 and 11, it's talking about what after the Antichrist comes. But verse 12 and 11 says, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Our testimony is important because, see, I might not be able to argue a point with somebody if Moses did or did not exist, but I can sure enough share my testimony about what God has done for me. I can share my testimony about how God held back death. I can share my testimony about how God provided food for me during my wilderness time. I can share my testimony about when I was homeless, how God became my shelter and provided a roof over my head. I can share my testimony about when I wasn't working, how I never went without food to eat. So it's important that we share our testimonies. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." We have to share our testimony, you know, and we have to begin to give God the praise, the glory, and the honor for what he has done for us.
Amen.
Like some of us, I was sick, but I went to the hospital and they healed me. No, the hospital didn't heal you. God just used them to heal you, because there's a lot of people that went to the hospital and died and had
Amen.
The same doctor.
Amen.
We have to give God his proper space and place in our lives. Oh, I was sure lucky because I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills, and then I got this letter in the mail, and it said that that wasn't luck. That was God. That was the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look at miracles anymore as miracles because we can rationalize them. What makes something a miracle is not how God does it, but it's his timing on doing it. I sat the other day and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, you know my financial situation. You know what I do every year around this time for my grandchildren. You know how I, Lord, what we going to do?" And as soon as I said, "Lord, what we going to do?" Guess what? God said, "I don't know what you going to do, but let me show you how quick I can move."
Amen.
Sister Talene, yes, we were given your name by someone that said that we could be a blessing to you during this holiday season. We would like to sponsor your family for Christmas.
Okay,
God. So, no, I can't argue the points of the Bible, but I can argue the points of my life and how, because I've applied what was written in that word into my life,
Amen.
How God has stepped and changed my life and provides for my life and takes care of me.
Yes. Yes.
So that's how I do when people get into he ain't real. He might not be real to you, but he sure is real to me.
He sure is real to me. Amen.
But, you know, the funniest part is, as y'all were sitting here and y'all were talking, I said, wow, I just got it. For all of these times and all of these years and everybody talking, everybody's caught up in who? But they got the three letters mixed up, because it really should be how.
Amen.
You know what I mean? We've been talking about who forever, but who is not the who, it's the how. How do you live this? How does it look? What do the other people see? Like you said, Jeff, some people might not ever know anything about the Bible. We are the only Bible they might ever see. God forbid it's a wrong Bible. Well, God forbid, like, see, that's funny because, you know what I mean? Because it's like we hold things and we think that, okay, this is us. This is what we do. This is my thing. And then we say, this is my thing. But then we say, but this is God. And then we say, but no, hold up. This is my thing. And he say, but it's God's thing. No, not this. This is my thing. And it's like, but we need to have the God thing. So it's not the who, but the how. Like when y'all was sitting there talking, and I'm like, wow, because basically everybody wants to talk about anything other than that. But when it comes down to it, they're really only talking about the who. Ain't nobody talking about the how. Because when you get in the how, that's what it looks like Christ. That's how you can't tell who they are. That's how you can't tell what they do. That's how you can't tell where they study. That's how, you know what I mean? That's how you can't tell. But you can tell if there's a light over their life. How can you tell these things? If you're out there and you're listening and you've ever been in a situation where everything was going some way and then something happened, or a person came in, or let's say you walk in the store and they completely, the store is completely empty, parking lot, ain't no cars, nothing. You sit in the store for like 2-3 minutes. You turn around, there's a whole line behind you. You're like, hey, what just happened? Do you understand that that's like a follow? People look back and say, what just happened? Who just left here? We don't know, but love it.
What's funny is we don't even realize, so I know the rest of the world doesn't see it, but it's the God on your life. What we don't realize is because we walk in Christ's favor, because we walk in the favor of God, our favor overflows to wherever we go.
Amen.
So like, and I'm not talking about Sunday morning saved. I mean, if you're really and truly in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and with God, if you ever notice, you go into a store and the store is totally empty, like she just said, but then you turn around and get fine and all of a sudden it's a line wrapped around the corner. That's because God just walked into that store.
Amen.
And that's what we have to realize as believers in Christ. Everything we do, every place we go, every word that comes out of our mouth affects the atmosphere around us.
Amen.
That's how come we can walk in some places and there's confusion going on, but then as soon as we walk in, they get quiet. Talking about us. No, they wasn't talking about you. It was just the favor of God walked in, and confusion can't be in God's presence.
Amen. Not the altar, no confusion.
Right. We have to begin to realize exactly who we are in to God through Christ Jesus. Like Psalms 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and we always stop right there. But the whole scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. We just go, oh, yeah, we the redeemed of the Lord. No, we need to finish that out. I'm the redeemed of the Lord because I should have got shot getting off the bus. He made the bullets miss me. We are the redeemed of the Lord because when I should have been put out in the street with no roof over my head, he made provision. He became my Jehovah Jireh. We are the redeemed. Lord, because he became my Jehovah Rapha, my healer. When they said that I was sick, when they said I should have been sick with COVID, when they tried to diagnose me, but God said, no, you can't diagnose what I have already diagnosed, that she is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, y'all, we got to remember.
Amen. Yeah, amen. You can't take that away, you know. And even the walking into a quiet room or an empty room, and the room gets filled, you know. It basically, have you ever just met somebody and you don't know what brought you together, and next thing you know, you're talking about Christ, and in the midst of talking about Christ, you know, because I have done it on many occasions, you know, and I just had a little down spirit that day, and my spirit became upbeat once I walked in front of somebody or walked past somebody and somebody said, good morning. And I'm like, good morning, praise the Lord. And once I said, good morning, praise the Lord, here goes the conversation of Christ. And then when we we're talking about Christ. And next thing you know, I turn around, it's like three or four of us, and we all talking about how good He is and how what He has meant, what He meant to us in our lives. You know, so when that happens, I get filled, and once I get filled, I feel the Spirit of Christ. You know, and my day goes smoothly all that day. Amen. That's why God is real.
God is not only set up situations. Like she just said, I literally got in a car accident one day. The man hit me. And after the man hit me and they were surprised because of the way the car got tore up and I'm sitting in the ambulance and they was trying to convince me to go to the hospital. And the young man that hit me sat there and said, you know, I was just talking to my mom about giving my life back to Christ. And that man gave his life to Christ that day sitting in that ambulance.
Amen.
And then God took care of everything else that was surrounding that particular accident. However, whenever I would sit back and go, oh, my goodness, I don't believe. Yes, I do believe it. God will do anything to save
you. Yes, He will.
We are important to Him. And then we who say we serve Him, we have to become willing apostles of His service.
Amen.
So, I don't know. That's sort of where I'm at with it. It's like, it's through our testimony. We can save the world through our testimony about Jesus Christ, about the goodness of the Lord.
I was thinking about like a hot pot. All right, think about a hot pot of oil. Cause you know with the COVID going on, we didn't got numbers are going up and they going down. Then they got numbers going up and then you got holidays. You can't see your family. You know what I mean? Or things that you thought you was about to be able to do, they get stripped away from you. So now you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, you talk about this oil is sitting on the burner. And then the Christian walks in. That one drop of water. In a real hot, boiling situation. What does that one drop of water do to that oil?
Well, see, for me, the oil is
y'all
really
know what
really
I'm talking
hot.
About, or y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm the only person that put hot grease on the oil and then throw some water on it to make that thing pop.
To make it start to pop and to make it sizzle. Once you put that water
on
it,
to make it get to do what it needs to do.
But that's what we, as the saved and righteousness of God, is supposed to do. He said we're the salt of the earth. So we're supposed to make everything.
No, that's what I was saying. I was just summing it up as a misunderstanding so that anybody didn't understand what y'all was talking about. And they understood about hot pot. I was just putting my part in. Y'all ain't got to read back with it. Because I was just saying, because y'all had did it. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's it. In the Bible, when we were little, we used to sing, it only takes me far to get a fire going. And soon all those around will warm up in the glowing. That's how it is in God's love. I want the world to know the world of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
Hey,
man. I'm sorry, y'all. I was a kid. Hey, I grew up in the church, man. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you,
as a little girl, we were like solos, I think, at like 5, 6 years old.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take that world to love.
Act like you don't know. Don't act like you don't know. Wait a minute. Do you know what other song is so amazingly right where we needed it to be? I'm not sure if anybody remembers this one, but this was my graduation song in sixth grade. You know, the why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. I know they're wrong. Wait and see. Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me. La, 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 la. I'm sorry. Look, don't act like y'all don't know that.
I don't know it.
But you know what, Mima, when I tell you what that is, you're going to crack up, because you do know that. That is the Kermit the Frog song.
Yes.
Remember when the Muppets used to go off and they used to sing, and he would be like, why are there so many? And they would all come in at the end.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
Rainbow connection. Do you understand?
Right.
Man,
yes.
This world has changed immensely. It is time to take it back. Do you get me?
Well, yeah, they all were. Yeah, they were rainbow colors, weren't they?
I'm telling you, and everything was about, but it all goes back to the love. If there was a piece in us that we didn't see a whole lot of what we see right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's because, I hate to say it, you know, I'm big on it, and I'll be a representative. I think it's the eye. You know, that eye robot, iPad,
mm-hmm.
eye, I, me. You know, I, me. Don't you think that one day we'll realize that the computer has a glitch in it? When the computer has a glitch in it, it tells you wrong information. If we follow just the computer and we have no compute of our own mind, then where will we be? Come on. Let's talk about it, y'all. And it's like an easy fix.
What's funny is God gave us a prescription for the eye-itis when we get so caught up eye. He gave us a prescription that we can use, and I'm looking it up. Because I want to give you this prescription, but I want to give it to you in the right address so that you can get it fulfilled correctly. So the prescription that he gave us was written in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you are suffering from a case of eye-itis, your prescription can be found in Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20. And the first step is I need to be crucified in Christ.
Amen. Amen. And your prescription has been filled.
I like that.
Wait, say that again. What you say?
Said, and your prescription has been filled.
Pick it up.
Ding.
God has been the right age.
I knew that.
Right age to walk.
You said you were at the right age. Are they giving out the test there yet? Have you seen any people taking the test?
Nah, they're only giving it to essential workers.
I saw one picture of
But see, I figured that I'm essential. I show up in a hospital every other day. I mean, that makes me essential, don't you think? I might not be working, but I'm in this joint. Don't you think I should get one?
Hey, you're essential, huh?
They don't think about it like that. I literally, can I tell you, I was in the hospital the other day. All right, now, look, my views are Adrian misunderstandings. Alan's views is not the views of Fergus Kingdom Network. But I am a person. And y'all gotta give me some slack. I'm in the hospital. I need my treatment like 2 weeks ago. So I really don't have no time, no nothing. I'm just like, please hook me up. Did they put me next to this room where this lady was hawking? I just looked at the lady, my nurse, and I looked, and she looked at me, and I said, well, I think you should do it before I do it. She said, don't you dare. I said, listen, that ain't good. I know she had the same questions that I had before I walked up in this joint. That is not no cough that she just got yesterday. Yo, do you know that they moved the lady? No disrespect or anything, but on some real, come on, are you out here coughing like that and you in the hospital? You should tell the people that you need to be, like, in quarantine. You shouldn't even want to come up on the regular floor with everybody else. Right?
But she should have been covered. She should have been covered.
Like, there's got to be a personal responsibility in this as an American, as a person that breathes every day. You know what I mean? You got to take an onus of something, especially if you don't feel good.
You know what's funny?
Yeah, we all get caught up on this.
You don't feel good, man.
And sometimes, you know, a lot of times it's not even that. Because of what's going on now, so everybody is so afraid of the COVID, this is COVID, you know. But some people are really sick, you know, and it's not even COVID, you know. But because of the fear that they put on TV and out there, you know, you got a lot of people that's in so much fear. But I have to be honest with you guys. I don't have that fear because I know who I am. I know who Christ is in me, you know, and I do the protection. I protect myself as well as protecting others, you know, and even to the point where though I wear gloves. You know, and when I touch something, I got about 5 or 6 pair of gloves and 5 or 6 different pockets. So once I come out of the supermarket, I pull those gloves off, sanitize my hands, get in my car, do what I got to do. And then if I had to get out and go somewhere else, I'll put another pair of gloves on. But I never touch anything else with those gloves. So we have to, he said, for us to be wise but not foolish, you know, and we have to obey the laws of the land, you know. But it was said to me like one time, you know, it was a mother of our church, and I was doing something, and she stated to me, well, why are you doing that? You know, I think I was in my period of how can I say that? I had a real bad anxiety, and the anxiety was if I left a drink or something open, if I left it, I'll walk away and I come back to it, you know, knowing that it's a bunch of friends and family in the room. I was the type of person that didn't drink it, you know. I could have just sipped out of it and then walked away and went back, but I'll throw it away. And she says to me, why did you throw that away? I said, because I left it. She said, okay, you left her, but what do you think, somebody done something or drunk off of that? I said, no, I just have an anxiety that I don't drink things that I leave. I don't keep my eye on, you know. And she said, don't you trust and you believe in God? I said, yes, I trust and I believe in God. She said, okay, then you could have drank that drink, you know. But in the aftermath, he told me not to be foolish, too, you know. That's basically what I thought at that moment, you know. So, I don't know. It's just something that I went through at that point, you know, because I had somebody put something in the drink that I was drinking, you know. One of the kids put bubbles in the soda that I was drinking, and, oh, my anxiety went crazy, and I was in the hospital, and but the bubbles weren't toxic, so I was all right because they were kids' bubbles and we were at a party. So that's what made me gain that type of anxiety.
I don't think that's anxiety. I think that's a safety mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Or a leeway into getting a relationship with God.
I don't drink anything that I've walked away from.
Right.
And that's not, it's not because I don't believe in God. I don't believe in tempting God. I don't believe
right.
in putting him to unnecessarily. It's just
right.
like someone said to me one time when COVID first started, you're wearing no mask. I thought you trust in God. Yeah, I trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
But even God told us to obey the laws of the land and render unto Caesar
mm-hmm.
what is Caesar. So
mm-hmm.
the law of the land, put on a mask, I'm going to put on the mask. Now, because I trust in God, do I freak out if I'm around somebody that's sick or if I hear that somebody got sick that I was around? No. I don't freak out because I trust God. Psalms 91:7. No sickness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, 91:10. No sickness or disease shall enter into my dwelling. No evil
mm-hmm.
shall befall me. That's me trusting in God. Me still going
mm-hmm.
out
there
is me
go.
Trusting. I ain't going to tempt them just because I can.
That's right. That's right.
The devil was tempting Jesus. He said, go ahead, throw yourself off this cliff, because scripture says that he shall not cause even your foot to dash on the rock. And what did Jesus say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm not going to tempt them. I'm just going to keep walking in faith on
them. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to be foolish.
As long as we are, look, you got to be honest about it, because we have a point in the moment of our show, and we call it the call of salvation. The reason why it's called the call of salvation is because if you do not have that personal relationship, you got to need one. You're going to need it. The reason why I say you're going to need it is because, like I said, when you hear people tell you other things and you see something and you know something for yourself, it becomes an easier submit, because it's not a submit. It becomes what you live, and then it becomes your life. So in that moment, there's a moment where you actually have to ask God to come in and actually show you what it is. My problem right now is the world has put God in a box, and he had no idea that he was never supposed to be in one, no matter what it looks like. Whether it's from, you know what I mean? Right now, we need a one. God had a one, and there was a way to have a one. The way to the one was the one. So the relationship has to be bigger. It gotta be bigger than that one place, or that, you know, the one thing that they know. But Chappie, you know how to do what you do. Please. Like, you know what I mean? Because now's the time, y'all. It's no more playtime. If you don't really know, think you know, or you thought you did know, but you was wrong, or whatever the case. Admit, say, and go on chat, do your thing.
And that's basically it. She's giving you a chance to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And not even that we're giving you this opportunity, but if God has you on the line listening this evening, he is giving you the opportunity to come into a personal relationship with him. He is giving you that opportunity to be able to step out on faith with him, to be able to trust in him, to be able to rejoice because he can be born afresh in your life tonight. Hallelujah, God. The gift that God had given to mankind, the only true gift, the salvation of mankind, the blood of the Lamb of God, the Word made flesh, the God-man tabernacling amongst us. This is your opportunity to come to him and to get into right relationship. And it's not something that's hard to do. It's not something that's difficult. It's about believing, accepting. I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong. Believing, accepting, and then confessing. Why do I say believing and accepting? Understand, I'm not a swimmer. I don't swim. I was taught that if a person was to throw me in water, I should relax my entire body, because if you relax your entire body, your body is buoyant and it will float on the water. I believe that. I have seen it work for many of people. However, if I get tossed out on the water, the fact that I believe it don't save me. I tend to sink right to the bottom, because I cannot in my mind accept the fact that if I relax, I'll float. It's the same thing with salvation. Some of you out there, you have seen Jesus Christ work. You have seen him work in your parents. You have seen him work in your grandparents, some aunts, some cousins, some friends. You have seen the evidence of his work in the lives of people. You have seen people you used to work and do much dirt with all of a sudden just turn their lives around. And although they still talk to you, they just don't hang with you the way they used to, because God has called them out. And tonight he's saying to you, I'm calling for you also. You believe it, now's your opportunity to accept it. And to accept it means you walk in it. You just accept it by saying this prayer along with me. You just simply say, Father God, I believe that you took on the form of man and came into this world to save us, to redeem us, to save me, to redeem me. So I ask you to come into my life. I accept the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, and I ask him to make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you just tell somebody. You just say, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. According to God's word, once you say it out of your mouth, you are saved, and we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to do something a little different tonight. Normally, after we welcome you to the kingdom of God, we would have Brother Robert come on to do announcements. But this evening, I'm going to ask if Mother Janice will pray by faith for that soul that gave their life to Christ this evening, if she will pray over them, and then afterwards we will have Brother Robert come on for announcements. Mother Janice, can you pray for the people this evening?
Amen. Sure. Yes, I can. Our Father, which art in heaven, I come to you, Lord, as humble as I know how. Asking you, Lord, to please, Father God, give strength where strength is needed, give knowledge where knowledge is needed, and give understanding where understanding is needed. And, Lord, if there's someone listening out here tonight on the radio, for on this show right here tonight, Lord Jesus, bring their souls closer to you, Lord Jesus. Let them accept you into their hearts as their personal Savior, Lord. Cover them in your blood, Lord Jesus, and give them the strength, knowledge, and the understanding that you are real and that you will give them whatever they need, Lord Jesus. All they have to do is come to you and ask for these things, Lord Jesus, and it shall be given. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done in our lives, Lord Jesus, everything you're doing in our lives and everything that you're going to do in our lives. I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for just being the first and foremost in my life, Lord. Lord, just cover, spread your wings around the world, spread your wings around the broadcast tonight, Lord Jesus, and bring some lost soul closer to thee, Lord Jesus. Let someone that just in the sound of my voice have the encouragement of be encouraged, just listen to your word and accept you into their lives as their personal Savior. It is all these things that I ask of you, Lord Jesus. I do pray in your mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Brother Robert?
Yes, yes, yes. And real quickly, I'll go ahead and do the announcements, and I'll turn the show back over to you ladies. And so real quickly, if you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello, or you can send a prayer request, or just just say hi. We greatly appreciate that. We spread the joy of the news with the rest of our listeners and friends. And we will just go ahead and continue on the tradition of just that spirit of good naturedness and making sure that we share and tell our friends and family members. And also, we're on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We can simply do likewise. We invite you to like us on our Facebook page where we have our upcoming shows and advertisements. And speaking of upcoming shows and advertisements, I do have the announcements for our lineup for our year-end revival. And I'll go ahead and let you know who we have in our lineup. And right now, all shows are going to be starting at 9 p.m. except for the last show, which is going to be the end of the year. And we get prayed in into from 11 p.m. to midnight. First up, we have Minister Bernard Merrill. He's going to be kicking things off on the 25th. And we're going to have Minister Dominic Hudson on the 26th. We're going to have Reverend Arthur Burgess III on the 27th. And then we'll have Reverend Aaron Williams on the 28th. On the 29th, we're going to have Minister Arthenius Jackson. On the 30th, we're going to have Minister Rob Hudson. And then at 11 p.m., we're going to have Pastor Toy Daly. And with that being said, don't forget to share with your friends and family members that we are in our end-of-the-year revival, and it's going to kick off on December 25th. With that being said, we're just going to go ahead and, you know, with God's will and God's blessing, let you know that at 9 p.m. tomorrow, we have our very own Sister Adrienne Allen, who's going to have her show tomorrow evening. And don't forget, tomorrow evening, we're going to have D-Block Church at the 9 p.m. hour. And it's going to be hosted by Sister Adrienne Allen. And with that being said, don't forget to tell your friends and family members. And that's going to be the end of the announcements. I'm going to turn everything back over to our ladies here. Let's talk about it.
Thanks a lot. Tomorrow night's show is Adrienne Misunderstanding Allen, because I'm not sure where Pop-Up is at, but we're here. Meet me tomorrow at 9 p.m. So late. You got a little bit done. You got a little bit of time. What you gonna take it back? What you gonna do? We got a couple more days. You wanna say something to the teachers that's not really getting virtual, or you know what I mean? Or they sitting around crying, talking about he wants to pay you too. Well, baby, maybe you're not interesting enough for him to maybe pay attention to you. What you want me to do, ma'am? Oh, I'm sorry.
Since you went there, I've been trying not to say nothing about this. I am going to take back teachers. I would like to take back teachers being more concerned. And please, don't everybody start emailing me, oh, you talked about teachers. This is not all teachers. But some teachers need to get more concerned with educating the child and less concerned with getting their paycheck. The easiest way they can. Because as a person who worked in education, as a person who started off as a teacher before I moved over to discipline, I know how hard it is to be in the classroom. And I understand you have children of all different backgrounds. You have children with all different types of learning situations and children who learn differently, period. But at some point, even though it's virtual, we have to go back to being concerned about how the children learn. We have to go back to being concerned with setting the example for the children. For example, we can't complain that the children are falling asleep on virtual during virtual class, but then you go into the breakout rooms and teachers are on the line sleep instead of helping the children learn. Or, you know, or we have some teachers who, when the parent says to the teacher the child is going through a situation or that the child is becoming overwhelmed, they think that it's funny. Well, overwhelmed, I mean, they're just getting up looking at the computer. No, they're not just getting up looking at the computer. They're getting up trying to remain engaged in something that's probably boring them to death in the mannerism that and watching it being presented to them in the mannerism that would make Jesus fall asleep. And we know the word of God tells us he don't sleep or slumber. So I'm just saying, we got to get back to a place of being that example. teach and educate my, and not just wanting to catch and collect the check. So that's what I want to say. That's
Amen. Well, my take back tonight, ladies, is I want to take back, oh, goodness, there's so many things I want to take back, but I'm just going to do one right now, you know. So my take back is to bring the true discipline in a home. You know, I don't mean the whipping of the children or anything, but the discipline of when you tell you to take the TVs out of the bedrooms, you know, because that's where we go wrong. We every right now in the day, every room in the house, even the bathroom and the kitchen, has a television in it. You know, so take that's my take back. Take back our respect of our adults. You know, basically take the TVs and tablets and things from the children. And go back old school, because if your child had to be asleep by a certain time so they can get up and go to school by a certain time, take that TV out the room. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was about to say, now you look, I don't even want to say nothing because, you know, that just leading back where we was on Monday. Do what we need to do, man.
Yep.
I'm taking you back again. Parenting. We can do it. We had them. It is our responsibility. No one else's. If you didn't do it right, go back and fix it. Mm-hmm. If you need help, ask for it. If you can give help, give it. We got to do this thing because if we want our babies to continue to have babies so we can see children and children and children, because if the word is true, when you go to Revelation, I believe that it all just turns right back to Genesis and we just keep on going. So that's it, my thing for tonight. I love all y'all. You know, I like coming on. And anytime we got to, you know, step up in, God said, be ye ever ready. And ladies, we can always talk about it.
Amen.
Good night. Good night. Hallelujah.
Jesus loves. He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. I will not lose.
Never wanna see you down. I will not lose.